his songs of praise.
Seated, please. Good morning. What a beautiful weekend it has been. Amen. The sun is out. The warm weather is just a wonderful time of spring, and we are gathered here this morning to give God praise and worship. And I want to especially thank our visitors for being here. We especially welcome you this morning and hope you feel right at home here at Asbury. My name is Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here. It is a delight for us to be gathered, and if you would do just a second, and there's registration pads on each of the aisles there, if you would pass those to your neighbor and help sign those up, we can get a record of your attendance this morning that helps us know who all is here. And we do have one announcement, and probably the most important announcement of today is that there is carnation sales. Mother's Day is a big day. I don't know if you knew that or not. But one way you could really just show love and appreciation for the mother in your life, or maybe your wife who's a mother, is to get a carnation for her. What a wonderful gift. And you know what you also do? You support our youth group. It's just a wonderful way of supporting two wonderful, people, in the broader sense, and we appreciate you for helping us out with that. Let us now stand and greet one another in the name of Christ and share us your favorite Mother's Day memory. Let us now return to an attitude of praise and worship as we give just honor to our God.
You want me. Okay, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. Okay, now, does any one of you like to talk on the phone? Do you like to talk on your parents' cell phone? None of you have cell phones, right?
No.
No, because you're too young. But your parents do, right? And do they ever lose their cell phones?
Yes.
No, they do?
And it, you have to text them.
You have to text them? Well, how are they going to find it if they lost it? Very good. We can ring it. So what is so important about that? If we always have to have our phone, I usually have mine in my purse. And so I like to make sure that I can talk to whoever I want to, whenever I want to. And I have to make sure that people can get in touch with me in case my children, something's going on with my children, or I just want to talk to somebody. So if all of your parents, we all have our cell phones at all time, and we like to talk, and you like to talk, who do you like to talk to?
Grandma and Papa.
Your friends, your grandparents, yes.
And
your aunts and uncles. And uncles too, yeah. And so if we like to do that, and we're always accessible for our telephones, why do we sometimes find it hard to talk to God? Why, Aubrey? He doesn't have a cell phone. You're right. He doesn't have a cell phone. Also, what about, do you think God wants to, do you think that he hears our prayers when we talk to him?
Yeah.
You do? So, but then why do we have a hard time talking to him?
Because he never talks back.
He doesn't talk back. But do you think he listens? Do you think he listens to your little prayer when so much is going on in the world?
Yeah.
I do. Y'all are smart kids. Of course he does. Okay, well, sometimes we don't make time for him because we're too busy, and we just don't make it a habit to talk to God. So there's a way that we can learn to pray that's as easy as talking. I think, Hope, you're going to read the first. No. We need talk. Who has talk? Lily does. Can you read what that says? Take the time. Just take the time to make it a habit to talk to God. Do you know what I watched a little boy last night at 10 o'clock at night playing baseball doing? He got up to the plate, and he took his bat, and he just made a simple cross. And at that 1 second, he was talking to God. And he does it every time before he gets up to bat. He just made the time. Just like brushing your teeth. How many times a day do you brush your teeth?
Two.
Very good. Two times. So if you made that time to pray, you could pray before you brush your teeth or after you brush your teeth, right?
Yes.
Okay, who has a? What does that say, Kaylin?
A.
He
says
a.
He
says ah, quiet.
Ah, quiet.
Quiet. You have to have private time and quiet time to pray, right? So you can go get in your closet, you can get in your bedroom, and sometimes you just need to tell little brother and sister to stay away. You've got to pray, right? Who has the next one? L. Hope.
Learn from God's word.
So you need to learn what you're praying about. You know what? Sometimes you just need to open your Bible and read a verse. And if you don't know what that verse says, who can you ask?
Your parents.
Your parents. You can ask your teachers or God. You can, and you can ask your other friends, what does it mean? That's another way we can talk to God.
In the dictionary.
In the dictionary, Emily. And what about K?
Keep a prayer plan.
Yeah, keep a prayer plan. You can write it down. You can write down your prayer. If it's hard for you to remember how to pray, you can just write it down. You can write down what you want to say, your favorite verse, or just something very easy. So it's important to remember, it's keep it simple. God doesn't want a big, long, drawn-out prayer from all of us. He just wants you just to talk to him, okay? So who wants to say a really quick prayer? Who can do it, okay?
We stand up when we're not eating.
Okay, very good. So let's say a real quick one and we'll finish, okay? Emily?
Dear God, thank you. Amen.
Okay, it's as easy as that, okay? All right, threes and four-year-olds, you can meet me in the back, and everybody else, you get to sit and hear Reverend Chase say a prayer.
There is perhaps nothing more holy or precious in all of the universe than a child that says a prayer. Am I right? Absolutely. I invite you to a time of bowing your heads and your hearts as we enter into a space of prayer. And may we think about God as we pray together. Holy God, prayer is such a gift. This joyful ability to communicate with you, our Creator, our Savior, our triumph of our faults and failures. Holy God, we come to you in the times of our struggle, in the times of our joys, and we ask that you bless our lives. We ask that you would enter into our hearts and speak to us a word of grace and truth. Lord, we're humbled by your presence in our lives, the blessings that we could count forever and ever that are around us. However, life is difficult, God. Lord, we pray mightily for the people of Nepal who have suffered thousands of losses in humankind, in damage to property. The devastation is hard to grasp because it's so big. We pray that your presence would be right there with those people, and that we would all reach out to them in service and mission and love and giving. Lord, we also pray for the city of Baltimore with its deep struggles. We pray for peace. We pray for justice. We pray for calm in the midst of the storm. Holy God, we have people in our own congregation who need you. We pray for Hilda Parr, Ann Baer, Patty Shoemaker, Janet Brandt, Betty McClendon, and Lou Teeter. And we pray for all of us that have not mentioned their concerns, that are just on their hearts, that you would look inside their souls, know what they're struggling with, and reach down and give them the grace that only you can give. We pray this in your holy name, and we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward to collect the offering this morning, I do want to remind you about a mission that we're doing the entire month of May, and it's sponsored by the Emmanuel class, and it's basically a shoe drop. Bring a pair of shoes that isn't too used or damaged, and put it in a Walmart sack, and there are various boxes around the church at the different entrances that you can place the bag of shoes, or you can place it in the Emmanuel class. These shoes go overseas, and not only do they go to people who are in need, but they also are given to people who then sell them for a small price so that can also encourage and strengthen the economy among those people. So it helps in two different ways. So if you would think about that in the month of May, the shoes you may have to give, and bring those to the church. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you so much for the many gifts that we have. We are blessed. We are blessed with family, friends, loved ones, shelter, and food. Holy God, this is a time where we are able to give to your kingdom, give to you so that you might bless and use us in the mission around Little Rock and beyond. We ask that you bless us in that mission here at Asbury. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Are you hungry? Not for physical food, but spiritual food. Are you hungry for worship? Are you hungry to enrich your prayer life? Are you hungry to serve and live out your faith in this church? My prayer is that you're bursting with desire and passion to do so. And I offer these words of scripture to you. The first comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 through 15. Hear these words as they are read. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. And then from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, hear these words as well. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow now for a brief word of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Almost every person who has ever been a student, either in high school or college, or maybe even some of us in here, junior high and all that, when that big test day comes, and maybe it's a time where you just really didn't understand what the teacher was talking about, so you feel a little bit vulnerable going in, or perhaps you were like me and chose not to study as you should have, and you went into that classroom, you saw the big stack of exams on the teacher's table, and you rush over to sit at your desk, and then you start to pray, right? You bow your head. God, please, 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 please help me. Please bring the knowledge down from above. Pour it into my mind that I might write out the correct answers. I promise, if you will give me this A, I will follow you. I will never not study again. I know that was a double negative, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Amen. Have we all been there at some way or another? We try maybe to wager with God, all right, if you do this for me, then I'll do this. Or maybe it's just, I don't know if students know this, but God doesn't just zap you with the knowledge you haven't been studying the whole time. It just doesn't quite work that way. But think about prayer. When you think about prayer, it starts to become this bigger thing that you can't really contain. You start to think of about all the different ways people can pray, the different questions you have about prayer. What are the rules about God answering prayers and this and that and
granting this miracle and granting that. And lots of times we just quickly say, God is mysterious. And to some folks who are in a crisis, that's not the most comforting thing, right? The truth is, we really don't know what God does with all these prayers God receives, but we take it on faith that God is listening and that God might speak to us as well. Here on the slides, you can see four different images. There's a person praying before her meal. There's a person that's just having an individual prayer moment. There's a group that's praying together. And then there's a congregation praying. Now, that's just four images describing the different ways people can pray, all shapes, all sizes, as few or as many as possible. It can be just you. It can be the community. In fact, there's one type of prayer I experienced in seminary that I had never encountered before, and it was a Korean type of prayer called Tong Sung Kido. Okay, everybody pronounce that with me. Tong Sung Kido. And basically what the prayer went like is everybody starts saying their individual prayer out loud. God, I thank you so much for all that you've given me. Lord, please be with blah, 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 blah. But everyone does that together. So you have all of these individual prayers that are being said together, and it gets really loud because everyone's saying their things together, and it kind of sounds like, I'm sure, on Pentecost where all the people were speaking different tongues. You can't really discern what everybody else is saying because there's this mass that's together. But there's a beauty about that, right? That God hears all those prayers even in the midst of this kind of not making sense of what's really being said. And that's power. It's a wonderful thing. Adam to John the Revelator have prayed. We've prayed in times of crisis, in times of joy. We've prayed when we didn't want to. We've prayed when all we've wanted to do was to pray. I think I want to take us through the things I think are critical in how we look at prayer. And the first of those is that prayer is about connecting to God. That's the foundation of it. You and God connecting, being strengthened, developing a relationship. Excuse me. Okay. Got that. Oh, I'm sorry. It seems we weren't connecting really well, right? These little devices. When she said, well, God doesn't have a cell phone, that's a priceless moment. We live in a new age. This little device, amongst all the things going on in our lives, are distractions, ways in which we are brought off that connection with God. A connection with God is about focus. Your heart has to be in it, right? If your heart's not in it, and I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure everyone in this room is guilty of this, is that when we come into worship, there are some times where we feel in the moment, and there are some times where we're just kind of going through the motions. Maybe we're in a bad mood. Maybe we just didn't have that desire that morning. But the connection, establishing a strength of relationship between you and God, is the sole purpose of prayer. And then we move on to communicate. You can't really communicate without talking, right? Many of us have been in a large array of different conversations with people, and then the few seconds when we leave that conversation, we couldn't have told you what the other person said, right? Communication is about sharing something and listening for something. We do a lot of sharing with God, don't we? We share our problems, our joys, our desires, a whole list of things. I remember when I was in high school, a great moment in my life as a Christian. And in my prayer life, I had this long list that I just went through. I'd prayed for specific members of my family and friends and people that were hurt or this or that. And then I said, amen. Unfortunately, that's not prayer. It's a part of prayer, but if prayer is a conversation and you've not allowed God to speak or given space to listen to what God might have to say about all the things you've said, don't you just hate when you're in a conversation and the other person dominates it entirely, right? You can't get a word in. All they seem to care about are themselves. You've never experienced that, right? I did this. I want this. I said this the other day, and I did that. God must have an eternity of patience, right? Silence is the most difficult thing for us to do, to be silent, because our lives are busy, our lives are noisy, our lives are totally dominated by our senses. Just this past Thursday, I was at a district clergy day where all the different clergy around Central Arkansas gathered. And going into this, I didn't know what we were going to be doing. There wasn't necessarily a schedule for the day. So when Jana and I got there, we were a part of an hour and a half of Lectio Divina. I don't know if you've heard of Lectio Divina, but basically it's a spiritual practice where you read a scripture, like a story or several verses, or you have it read, and then you sit in a few minutes of silence thinking about that text, or maybe a word or a phrase that jumped out to you. We did an hour and a half of that. So that was about 40 to 50 minutes of silence. Going into that day, I was not prepared. I was not spiritually or emotionally prepared for this huge block of meditative time. Let me tell you, 10 minutes of silence for most of us is an eternity. 50 minutes is beyond infinity, right? Forever and ever. I missed the opportunity to encounter what God might have said. I missed that. Listening is a difficult task. It's active. We often think of listening as a passive thing, but you have to actively digest what the other person is saying. And if we're not giving God the time to share with us a word or a thought to us, we're missing a big part of what prayer can be. We miss a chance of discerning what God wants us to do with our life. Silence is a big part of that. Listening for God is a big part of that. Community is where we as a church, share together in a life of prayer. When I was in college, in two different years I was there, I was a part of an intentional Christian living community called the Bonhoeffer House. And basically there was about a dozen or 10 different people that formed a covenant together. It was named after Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's a 20th century Lutheran pastor who rose up against the Nazi Germany during the time he was a Lutheran pastor in Germany, and he lost his life for that. But during his ministry and teaching, he wrote a book called Life Together. And basically that book, it's very small, but it outlines how a group of people would live together and create this covenant and live out the Christian life. And a part of that covenant that we had was to pray in the morning and at the night, every day during the week. And you talk about sacrifice for a college student getting up at 7 in the morning, every morning. We learned about prayer. That practice brought us together. It helped us to form the relationships and build a stronger bond. We knew each other's hurts and pains and dreams and desires. It was a great time. That's what we are to do in the church. The vows that we've been talking about are the covenant we proclaim to uphold. The vow of prayer is that we will pray for one another. When I lifted up the names during the prayer time, that was something we find value in the church, to lift up those that are in need and hurting or are recovering. I would challenge you to find a group. Maybe it's a Sunday school. Maybe it's just a smaller group in the church. But form a bond where you share and you pray together. Jan and I pray morning and night. That's just part of our relationship. And that's something that we in the church should be about too. Forming this way in which we pray and lift our concerns to God, listening along the way. I want you to think about, how will you change your prayer life to be how Christ envisioned it to be? The Lord's Prayer. It's a fabulous prayer, isn't it? It's both personal and communal. It starts off with our Father, making it intimate between you and the God you give praise to. Jesus often used the word Abba in relationship to God. Basically, it meant a more intimate way of saying Father as a daddy. So there's intimacy in this relationship with God. And it's also communal. You see the words our and us, something we share together. We hold one another together in accountability, prayer, and deep thought. There's thoughts of thinking about our everyday sacrifice. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, when we say that, we should also be thinking, where in the world are those people who are not receiving bread, who are not receiving food? How might we help them receive that bread? When we ask, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, about forgiveness. Because when we forgive, we free ourselves from the burden of that guilt and pain, and we move on. Brothers and sisters, I don't know where you are in your prayer life. I don't know if you pray once a day, once a week, whenever you feel like it. But my request to you this morning, take this opportunity, take this time to search deeply within your heart how you want to pray in the future. How you will listen to what God will say to you. How you will live out your life through this church and serving and giving and being a witness and praying for you, your friends, your family, your church, those in need. May we all know that God loves us and that God loves when we talk to God. And when we listen, will you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you. We give you praise and thanksgiving for how you have entered our lives. We thank you for this gift of being able to communicate to you. And we ask with all sincerity that you speak to us. Help us to listen. Help us to be patient in silence. Help us to be heartfelt in our prayer life. And may we always strive to be an example to others as we live out living into your Son, Christ. Amen. We now come to a time where we enter prayer. This is formally called the Great Thanksgiving, and it's one long prayer. We are connected to God. We are communicating to God, and we do that in community. This is an open table. All are invited to receive the bread and the cup. Come forward when the ushers send you forward. We have a gluten-free option for those that need that. We also have a basket here in the front that is to our community fund to those that come to our church in need. Let's enter this time with the spirit of prayer and aiming our hearts towards God. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth, and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread. He gave thanks to you. Broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. For this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me." And after the supper had been shared, our Lord took a cup, again giving thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Through your Spirit, through your Son, the Holy God, we thank you that you're now here with us, dwelling with us. And we give thanks for all that you've given as we share in the bread and the cup. Amen. I would invite the praise team to come forward as we serve them first. And we welcome you to this great service of Holy Communion.
I will feast at the table of the Lord.
Will you pray with me? Merciful God, we thank you for your grace, the grace we received at this meal. We thank you for all that you've given to us, and we ask that as we go from this place, you'd fill us with your spirit and love. Amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing song. If you would, come up and have a word of prayer at our altar, or if you'd like to join our church, we welcome you forward at this time.
Your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So
in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and may you inspire others by your service of Christ that they might be led to Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our guide, our friend, our prayer partner, and the one who we follow. In Christ we pray. Amen.